Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ready from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28. Jnana Yoga, text number 13. Atehi avijjamane pi. Samsritirnani vartate.
Samsritirnani vartate.
Jayato vishayanasya.
Jayato vishayanasya.
Svapne nata gamoyata.
Svapne nata gamoyata.
Arte.
Arte.
Real cause.
Real cause.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Okay.
Avijamane, not existing. Api, although. Samsritihi, the material the material existential condition. Na, not. Nivartate,
does cease.
Jayataha, contemplating. Vishayan, objects of the senses. Asya,
of the living entity.
Svapne,
in a dream.
Anartha,
of disadvantages.
Agamaha,
arrival.
Yata,
like.
Actually, the living entity is transcendental to material existence, but because of his mentality of lording it over material nature, his material existential condition does not cease, and, just as in a dream, he is affected by all sorts of disadvantages. Purport. This same verse and other very similar verses occur elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, Chapter 27, verse 4, 4th canto, chapter 29, verses 35 and 73, and 11th canto, chapter 22, verse 56. In fact, this verse completely explains the essence of illusion. Okay, so let's have a look at some of those. 327, 4 is exactly the same verse. Said by the same person? Well, it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead here speaking. So, somebody, whether it's him speaking or not, I'm not sure. But, yes, it's authoritative if it's spoken by Krishna. So Prabhupada's translation is, actually a living entity is transcendental to material existence. Oh, actually it's the same. It's exactly the same translation. So that's what they've done. They've just taken the same translation, but Prabhupada's purport is interesting. The example of a dream is very appropriate. Is very appropriate. Due to material mental conditions, in dreams we are put into advantageous and disadvantageous positions. Similarly, the spirit soul has nothing to do with this material nature, but because of his mentality of lording it over, he is put into the position of conditional existence. Conditional existence is described here as jayato vishayan asya. Vishaya means an object of enjoyment. As long as one continues to think that he can enjoy material advantages, he is in conditioned life. But, and as soon as he comes to his senses, he develops the knowledge that he is not the enjoyer, for the only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29, he is the beneficiary for all the results of sacrifices and penances, Bhaktaram Jagyatapasam, and he is the proprietor of all the three worlds, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the actual friend of all living entities. But instead of leaving proprietorship, enjoyment, and the actual position as the friend of all living entities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we claim that we are the proprietors, the enjoyers, and the friends. We perform philanthropic work, thinking that we are the friends of human society. Someone may proclaim himself to be a very good national worker, the best friend of the people and of the country, but actually he cannot be the greatest friend of everyone. The only friend is Krishna. Once you try to raise the consciousness of the conditioned soul to the platform of understanding that Krishna is the actual friend, if one makes friendship with Krishna, one will never be cheated, and he will get all help needed. Arousing this consciousness of the conditioned soul is the greatest service, not posing oneself as a great friend of another living entity. The power of friendship is limited. Although one claims to be a friend, he cannot be a friend unlimitedly. There are unlimited number of living entities, and our resources are limited. Therefore, we cannot be of any real benefit to the people in general. The best service to the people in general is to awaken them to Krishna consciousness so that they may know that the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend is Krishna. Then this illusory dream of lording it over material nature will vanish. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Tadati Svapajantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dina Tarinam. So here's the cause of material existence. In a nutshell, we are thinking like a person in a dream. We're actually asleep to our original position, our constitutional position. Just like when we're asleep at night, we dream that we're in all sorts of conditions. Actually, we're lying asleep in the bed under the bedclothes. But when we're asleep, we're totally oblivious to the fact that we're lying in our bed and we're travelling all over the universe. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have these dreams of flying. You're flying around all over the place. And, you know, totally absorbed in the fact that I was flying. Because actually, reality, stuck in bed. But in a dreamlike condition, imagining that I could fly. So similarly, and of course that's ignorance, basically. You know, when we're asleep, we're very much steeped in ignorance. And then in that ignorant condition, we become absorbed in situations that don't actually exist. They're just reflections of past experiences. The mind is expert at reflecting activities that we experienced, especially in dreams, either in this lifetime or in previous lifetimes, because the mind is a repository of all of these impressions that we've experienced. And due to the strands or the strings of karma, we experience those reactions subtly in the subtle form, in the subtle body. Even though the gross objects of the senses are not present, because normally we react to what we see with our Gyanendriya, with our knowledge acquiring senses, with the Karmendriya, with the working senses. But in dreams, even though those sense objects aren't there, still they react on us. They still have power or potency. Even though they're not there, they don't exist, it's just the mind working. We're very much influenced by the material energy. And the forms, whether imagined or real, that are created by the material energy. Very powerful. Very powerful. You know, our original position, you know, we actually have a spiritual form. But that spiritual form at the moment is covered over, just like Prabhupada gives the example of a drop of water falling from the sky, from a cloud, in its pure, clean, clear, pristine state. But then when it hits the dirt, then the pure form of water is covered over, and so all you get is mud. So similarly also, our consciousness has become absorbed in, and this is the binding point, if you like, or the contact point with the material energy. We've come in contact with the material energy, but with a desire to enjoy it, Prabhupada says. And as a result of that desire to enjoy the material energy, that's not our position. That's a false position. It's an illusory position. It's a wrong state of consciousness. And with that consciousness, then the material energy covers us over. We become absorbed in it, and it then covers us. So even though we have that original state of Krishna consciousness, that's our original condition. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Sabya Kabunoi. The original state of Krishna Prem exists within the heart of everybody, but it's covered at the moment. It can be uncovered, but that uncovering will only come about when we change our mentality, when we adjust our mentality from thinking that I'm the enjoyer, the controller. When we discard or remove or give up that mentality of that false mentality, that false attitude or motivation that actually brings all of the problems of material existence, when we give that up, then we'll be able to uncover our original spiritual identity. At the moment, we're basically lost to ourselves. Just like when we go to sleep, we become absorbed in all sorts of things. We lose sight of the fact that actually we're lying in bed. So similarly also, that's the night dream, Prabhupada says. So in our daydream, we identify again with another set of false circumstances. We identify with this body. I am an Australian. You know, I love my country. I was born in Ardrossan, South Australia, or whatever. Each one of us has their own particular individual, particular set of coverings or set of misidentification. But that's, again, just a temporary state of existence. All of the conditions that we experience in material life are all subject to that flux, all subject to that change. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, sometimes, you know, in dreams we have an advantageous situation, sometimes we have a disadvantageous situation. Just like I often have this recurring dream that I'm being attacked by snakes. They're about to bite me. You know, I mean, each one of us probably has this kind of a dream. You know, sometimes I'm having a dream that I'm with one of the swamis and we're preaching. So, you know, this is advantageous, certainly for a devotee. And then next night I'll be asleep and I've been chased by snakes. So disadvantage. But similarly, also in our daydream, we experience the same thing. We have advantageous conditions and situations, and we have disadvantageous situations and conditions. Always changing. It's always in a state of flux. Yet somehow, in ignorance or in illusion, we think we're in a permanent situation. Or we try to create a permanent situation. Foolish. So Prabhupada makes a point in this purport that this idea of being the enjoyer has to be given up. And of course he quotes the peace formula, if you like, from the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhaktaram jagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhuktanam gyatva mam shantim richati. So one can become really peaceful. You know, everybody's looking for peace and happiness. Everybody's looking for satisfaction and happiness. Just we're looking for it in the wrong place. We're looking in a place where it actually doesn't exist. Material world, we were discussing this the other night at Krishna Fest. The material world is designed in such a way so that as soon as you come into the material world, then you are destined to suffer. It's just part of the deal. You're going to suffer as a result of accepting this body, both gross and subtle. The material body will give us trouble, and a subtle body will similarly disturb us. The fact that we are living with a whole bunch of other living entities, they're also going to disturb us. And then there are natural calamities and disasters, just like yesterday. You know, a good example. There was a boat of 80 asylum seekers thinking, yes, if we can adjust our material situation and get to Australia, then life will be better. And what happened? Yeah, the boat hit the rocks, completely smashed up. Half the people drowned and dead. Well, not dead, moved on to another situation in a material creation. Where they can again pursue their dreams of trying to make a perfect situation. But the material world is designed in such a way so that you'll never have a perfect, permanent, happy solution to your problems. Not possible. You know, sometimes we think, oh, now I'm a devotee, I shouldn't have any trouble. No, one of the things that Krishna teaches, first things that Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita is that trouble will come and go. Happiness, sukha dukkha. Sukha dukkha same kritva labha labho jaya jayo. One has to learn to be equipoised despite the fact that material existence is always in a state of turmoil, in a state of change. So there's no point in trying to make a permanent solution in what's a very, very temporary situation. Advantageous and disadvantageous. It's the state of flux that exists in material existence. And thinking that one can enjoy in that situation is illusion. It's not possible. The only way that we can actually enjoy, of course, you know, Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna is the only enjoy, but we're also enjoyers. Anandamaya Abhyasa, Prabhupada often quotes this Vedic aphorism, which basically states that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and because we are parts and parcels of Krishna, then we also enjoy. But it's the nature, or it's the nature of the relationship that brings about the enjoyment, in the sense that when we work for Krishna's pleasure, then automatically, because we are part and parcel of Krishna and we work in our constitutional position, then he enjoys and automatically will enjoy. What's the example of what's the most common example that Prabhupada gives in, to illustrate this point? Oh, that's a good one. That wasn't what I was thinking. Yes, that's a good one. I didn't think of that. I thought of it, but that's a good one. Yeah, just like here, you know, we're the servants of Radha Ballabha, and we get to live in the marble palace. We get to eat all of the offerings. Well, we shouldn't eat all of the offerings, but we get an opportunity to. Yeah, that's a very good example. Varadatri, what's your example? Yes, when that was the one that I was thinking of. When a hand feeds the mouth, which then goes into the stomach, then automatically the hand and all of the other senses and organs of the body are nourished. So similarly, when we work for Krishna's pleasure, then automatically we are satisfied. Bhaktaram jagyatapasam. So Krishna is the enjoyer of our austerities and sacrifices, but we also will enjoy in conjunction with or in cooperation with Krishna. In material existence, it's in competition. Actually, it's in competition with everybody, including Krishna. But in Krishna consciousness, there's even competition, but in cooperation. Interestingly enough, we have the best of all worlds. We work ultimately cooperatively to serve Krishna, plus we can also have our competition at the same time. But ultimately that competition is for Krishna's enjoyment. Then automatically we enjoy. Just like now it's the book distribution marathon. So there's a bit of competition as to see who's going to be the biggest book distributor. Right? A little bit of competition. Not a lot of competition. A little bit. So that ultimately is for Krishna's enjoyment. But we also enjoy, you know, seeing who's going to be the number one book distributor for the day or for the week or for the marathon. Krishna is the focal point of pleasure, but then automatically the devotees enjoy the results also. That's why we, you know, every morning we read out the Sankirtan scores and the results of our preaching to the Srila Prabhupada for his pleasure and for the pleasure of Radha Ballabha and Gaur-Nitai and Jagannath Balarama Subhadra, because this is basically our offering. Our offerings of service are meant ultimately for their enjoyment. And then, of course, when we see the big scores, then we become happy also. When we see the small scores and we become, what's going on? So, Bhaktaram Jagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the enjoyer. He's the controller. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam. That's interesting. In the purport, Prabhupada concentrates on this point. You know, we think that we are the well-wisher and the best friend of everybody. But he makes the point, very important point, that we are limited. We are limited. So how is it possible, and you know, this is, we're suffering from defects. We have imperfect senses. As a result of our imperfect senses, we are subject to illusion. And in our illusion, we make mistakes. Yet, we're so bewildered, we try to kid ourselves that actually we're perfect. So we have this cheating propensity too. Not only do we cheat ourselves, thinking, yes, I'm the enjoyer, and I'm the controller, and I'm the well-wisher of everybody. And yet we're not. We are so obviously limited. So it's interesting what Prabhupada says, and pertinent to the current service that we're concentrating on, is that Prabhupada says that real friendship means to remind people that actually Krishna is their best friend. That we can't be the best friend of anybody. Especially when we're cheating not only others but ourselves. And how can we possibly help others? So the real help, the real assistance, is to connect people with Krishna, with a real friend, with a real well-wisher. And that person is a real friend of everybody. The real friend of everybody is one who recognizes that ultimately Krishna is the best friend. Krishna is the only unlimited person who can actually look after everybody. In fact, he is looking after everybody. Was it Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam Riddesh Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutanam Yantra Rudhani Mayaya? Krishna says, I am directing the wanderings of everybody. So he's the real protector and friend. And that's the mood of the surrendered. We were discussing the other day the six items of surrender. Gopritve varanam tata visvaso rakshishyatiti. To consider Krishna as one's protector, and to consider Krishna, or to accept Krishna as one's maintainer. Because ultimately Krishna is the only one who's able to maintain everybody. We think we're protecting and helping others, but actually that protection and help has been provided by Krishna. It's not coming from us. It's a facility that has been given to us by Krishna, who's the real maintainer and protector of everyone. So one who understands this point, that to connect others to Krishna is to be the, and to help others understand and appreciate that Krishna is the protector, that Krishna is the enjoyer, that Krishna is the maintainer, and that Krishna is the best friend. And that person is considered to be the real friend of others. And so therefore, you know, Prabhupada would put so much emphasis on what is the actual welfare work. What is the real welfare work? Not just feeding people, clothing people, giving them some shelter in a very temporary situation. But rather, the real welfare work is to again connect people back to their best friend, Krishna. That's real welfare work. And of course Prabhupada's methodology for connecting people with Krishna was to preach. And specifically for us, our preaching involves basically three or four things. You know, the first thing is the Sankirtan. Chanting Hare Krishna, distributing the holy name liberally to others. You know, the chanting of Hare Krishna is very potent, because in the Kali Yuga we're dealing with people who are basically steeped in, well, we're dealing with ourselves, or at least I'm speaking for myself, basically steeped in ignorance, right? So in order to wake them up out of their slumber, we have to inject some aspect of Krishna consciousness. And so the The Sankirtan Yajna is performed by Mahaprabhu and his associates to basically awaken people. Especially those who, you know, can't or won't receive any instruction about Krishna consciousness. So then we have Sankirtan. It even benefits, you know, the living entities, the unconscious living entities that are in the stone and the bricks and in the wall. All of them are benefited just by the sound of the chanting. And they perform kirtan, as described, they perform kirtan by the echo. The echo that bounces off the walls enables the living entities, the unconscious living entities, to do some seva. Right? So they get benefited. Without even knowing it. Just like I remember when I used to first hear the Sankirtan party. Then I was attracted. I didn't know why I was attracted, but I was just naturally attracted to the sound. You know, you'd always hear the cartels. That would be the first thing that you would hear. You think, whoa, what's that? And even though I didn't particularly want to be attracted to the Hare Krishna, still I couldn't resist it. So, Sankirtan Yajna are very powerful and very practical because, you know, you benefit by hearing and you get benefit by chanting. You don't even have to know what it is. You don't even have to know what it is. It's so powerful. Similarly also, prasadam distribution. You know, Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to open up restaurants so that people would come and take prasadam. Of course, Prabhupada also wanted them to read his books. Right? Book distribution is also another. But not everybody has the brain power or the patience, you know, to sit down and open up a book and read it. So, you know, Prabhupada encourage the devotees, open up reading rooms, distribute prasadam, then let people sit down. You see it in Gopals and Crossways, you know, people will take prasadam. And, you know, there's a matchless gift or a, you know, Krishna consciousness, the topmost yoga or some book is on the table, and they just open up the book and read it. So, you know, unknowingly, by taking prasadam, gradually people become purified. And then, you know, as a result of that purification and that association with the devotees, and, you know, they eventually pick up a book and start reading it. And, of course, inside the book, Prabhupada will say, Krishna is your best friend. Right? Oh, Krishna's my best friend. Okay, all right. They may not even understand it or appreciate it. They may even reject it. Right? I remember when I first used to read Prabhupada's books in my friends' houses, or even in one of my friends that I used to live with. He used to get Back to Godhead magazines and bring them home. And I used to remember looking at the Back to Godhead magazine, and I was thinking, what are these guys with bald heads? What do they do that for? Because in those days I was a hippie, so, you know, bald head was the antithesis of being a hippie. So for me it was like, bald heads, forget about it. In fact, that was probably one of the greatest reasons why I was not attracted to Krishna consciousness, because I knew I had to shave my head at some point in time. But anyway, even if there was some initial, I remember reading the Nectar of Devotion and reading Prabhupada's words describing how Krishna lived in the spiritual world, and I think this is ridiculous. How can he say that God lives anywhere? How does he know that? So initially when I read Prabhupada's books, I was rejecting pretty much what was being said because of my ignorance. But of course, over time, that gradual association with the devotees and with the kirtan, especially, I was very attracted to the kirtan, gradually it worked its magic. So, as we've mentioned, the distribution of the holy name, the distribution of prasadam, the distribution of Prabhupada's books. These activities have mystical potency. Anybody who comes in contact with the devotees, who comes in contact with Prasadam, who comes in contact with Prabhupada's books, they receive the greatest benediction. They may not appreciate it. We may not appreciate, even sometimes we're distributing Krishna consciousness and we're not aware of its potency. We do it out of a sense of duty. And we ourselves are not aware of the impact that we're having on others, or the benefits that we're accruing for ourselves. Of course, occasionally we get that realization. Just like, you know, last week when we were on Harinam, was it last? We didn't go on Harinam last week, the week before, right? And who was with us? Oh, Dinabandhu was with us, that's right. And we turned left into Burke Street Mall. You wanted to go straight ahead, and I said, no, go left. And we turned left, and then when we came past, what is it, there's that music shop there. What's that music shop called? Let's see if anybody knows.
JB?
No, not JB Hi-Fi. It's another music, you know, they just have, it's a huge place, they sell Sanity. Insanity, that's right, yeah, that'd be right. It's called Insanity. Sanity or Insanity?
Insanity.
So anyway, and it was a nice kirtan because, well, everybody was chanting and there was about 40 devotees on a kirtan party, so it was a big kirtan party. And then there was two mothers walking along with their two daughters, and the girls must have been, I would say, 3.5 years old. Right? 3.5 years old. And then they saw the Harinam party and their face just lit up, and they just ran over to the girls and started dancing with the girls in the kirtan. And I thought, wow, that's far out. The mums were surprised. I was like, whoa, what's going on? And these two girls kept dancing, you know, they're only 3.5 years old. And they kept dancing with the devotees all the way down to Roger David's. In fact, the mums were saying, come on, the girls are running. We got the Sankirtan party. So I just, at that point, it just occurred to me how attractive Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party is, especially to the devotees, you know, those who have performed the Agyata Sukriti and who've become purified as a result of that devotional service. You know, Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, the devotional service is a practice that we've taken up from our previous lives. And when we get an opportunity, you know, when we're giving people, or when we're given an opportunity by book distribution, by prasadam distribution, by harinam, we're giving people an opportunity to reawaken their natural love and affection and attraction for Krishna. And in this day, in the Kali Yuga, it's made extraordinarily easy through the Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, prasadam distribution, book distribution, these activities make it very easy for somebody. And this is Mahaprabhu's mercy. You know, when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and the Panchatattva were performing their Sankirtan pastimes, then people naturally attracted to them. And I saw that with these two girls. I could see just how, you know, they're so young. They were really very, very young. Yet when they saw the Sankirtan party, they just wanted to join in. And completely uninhibited. So Lord Chaitanya is making it very easy for us. And make it very easy for us to make it easy for others. In the beginning, people are like, Prabhupada says, preaching is like drying out wet grass, you know, because they're dull and not necessarily attracted. So they need to be dried out. So therefore, the Sankirtan party goes out, and the distribution of prasadam and the distribution of books. It's like, you know, drying out the wet grass. So that sooner or later those people, when they get an opportunity to associate with the devotees and get instructions on how to take the Krishna consciousness, when they receive those instructions, that will ignite the fire of Krishna consciousness within their heart. Initially, when people are dull and still conditioned by material existence, and they're like the wet grass, they're dull. And so even though they get the same instructions from the devotees, they're not able to respond because of their covering of ignorance. So even though we may not get, you know, we may not get an initial response from people or an immediate response, we can't know how much impact we're having on people by gradually giving them an opportunity through the Sankirtan, through prasadam distribution, through book distribution. Especially now we're doing so many books. All of these books will eventually have an impact on people. It may not even be the person that we give it to. I've met devotees who've picked up books out of rubbish bins and then Vasudam, you know, he got his first book, Science of Self-Realization, on the windscreen of his car. The devotees used to just put books on people's windscreens in the 80s. And he read the Science of Self-Realization and he thought, yeah, I want to come to the temple. Actually, the first time I met him, I knew he was a bit of a bhakta because I showed him the full set of books. He said, yeah, I want to buy a set of those. And the first time I met him, I showed him a full set of Prabhupada's books. So, you know, we're not to know how our preaching is going to have an effect. And it will have an effect. Gradually, it'll purify those people who come in contact with that aspect of Krishna consciousness, and it'll give them an opportunity to reawaken their relationship with Krishna. So if one wants, as Prabhupada says, if one wants to be a real friend of others, then one has to connect them with Krishna. One has to remind them that Krishna is their best friend. That's real friendship. Not some other mundane form of friendship or affection. But real friendship and affection is to remind others. And so, you know, that's basically what we're doing in the Christmas marathon. You know, giving people books, doing Harinam, giving them prasadam. All of these things gradually accumulate over time, drying out that wetness, if you like, and bringing people to the point of purification where they can take the Krishna consciousness and understand that Krishna is the, you know, Bhaktaram Jagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, is that Krishna is our well wisher and best friend. And, you know, we can wake people up from this ignorance or this slumber wherein they're either dreaming in their night dreams or dreaming in their daydreams about, you know, perfecting material existence, which is truly mission impossible. And the devotees go out of their way. That's a real friend. Despite inconveniences and despite even rejection, you know, sometimes when you try to wake a person up and they're really steeped in ignorance, leave me alone. It happens. Despite that, the devotees endeavour to give people Krishna consciousness to basically wake them up out of their ignorance. Alright, I'm not finished here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah, ultimately it's Krishna as the impetus for all action. Yes. Where does it keep going?
Well, first I wanted to thank you for a very nice, balanced, interesting, important class. And just a comment on the point where people may disagree or reject what we present.
Mm.
And I think that the expertise of the devotees to present the philosophy in such a way that they don't disagree, that they agree.
Yes.
So I can give one example where if you tell people you're not the enjoyer, you can immediately disagree. So we tell them you're not the sufferer, immediately they agree.
Now, yeah, ouch.
If you really want to enjoy, you have to enjoy with the supreme enjoyer. And then you do it that way. So we as the devotees of the Lord, we're not the sufferers.
Yeah.
We don't suffer the pangs and material anxiety, stress, and the, you know, a whole thing like that. They can relate to that.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Expertise in presentation is an art. And one that is well worth learning. And you know, sometimes, you know, you may make a few mistakes in the beginning, but it can be learned. I remember I used to preach to people that I think, why won't they surrender to Krishna? You know, I've given them the perfect truth. I've given them the absolute truth, so why aren't they surrendering? Until it was pointed out to me that, you know, you have to become an expert presenter, but even then you have to leave the result up to Krishna. Yeah. Even Prabhupada met with resistance on more than one occasion. Even expertly presented, sometimes even the most expert presentation can be misunderstood by a fool. But definitely, it's our duty and responsibility to try to. Because I often my personal realization is that preaching, you know what I mean, is very much just making friends with people, rather than shoving the Bhagavad Gita down people's throats. Nobody likes those Christians who stand on the street corner, you know, yelling, walking up and down with the Bible, you know, you're all going to hell. Surrender to Jesus. You think if that's Jesus' love, then may, you know, I'm going somewhere else. So similarly also, I guess fanaticism. But if we present Krishna consciousness through our friendship and association, then it'll be very effective. Hard to argue with that.
Because people, if they like you, they're interested in what you're into. Mm. If they don't like you, they couldn't care less.
That's right, so yes. Yes, yeah, that's right. Okay, I think we should finish here. Kandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai.